Welcome to Authors First on the Artist First Radio Network, artistfirst.com. Tony Kay in the studio. Thanks for joining us, everyone, worldwide. If you are an author, independent artist, or have an idea for a weekly show, you're invited to follow the links we've provided at our homepage, artistfirst.com. For your convenience, we've placed the web link for our guest this hour on our homepage, and our guest is joining us from Israel. It's very early there, so thank you, Lawrence Fisher, author of Kill Me Now, A Middle-Aged Man's Maneuvers Through the Front Line of the Dating Battlefield. Learn more by following the link we have placed on our homepage. Questions or comments, always welcome. Send them to dj@artistfirst.com. And now, let's give a warm welcome to our guest. How do you do, Lawrence Fisher?
Good evening, Tony, and to all your listeners.
What a wonderful opportunity that the internet and, of course, the telephone has made it possible for both of us to make connection today at 1 a.m. in the morning in Israel and 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time in the great state of Ohio in the middle of the nation here. And we're delighted to introduce you because regardless of geography, we all tend to have the same human issues and when it comes to life and relationships.
That's quite true. It doesn't matter who you are, you've got the same issues.
And
all over the world.
Now, this path of authorship and this topic, how did it come to pass?
Well, you know, it's actually quite an interesting story. What happened was, at the beginning, I found out I had a relationship last year that unfortunately didn't work out the way that I wanted to, and I had to go back into the dating world this year in 2011, and I was faced with the weirdest people. You know, when you start to, when you start getting older in life, and you know, reaching the late 40s, and you start dating people in their late 30s, early 40s, as you get older, our idiosyncrasies get worse. And I found that I was dating weird people. So after the one date that I had, I said, you know what, I have to tell my good buddy. And I phoned my buddy up the following day, and I said to him, you have to hear about the date I had last night. And I told him, and he packed out laughing, you have to tell Harry. I phoned up Harry, and I told Harry the same story, and he packed out laughing, and he said, no, you have to tell so-and-so. And I said, you know what, guys, forget it. Why am I going to tell you? I'll send it all in an email. I sent the email on to, sent out an email, and people, the email started coming back to me. It had been all the rounds of people sending it back to me. Then every time I went on one of these so-called weird dates, people asked me to send emails. Eventually, I said, you know what, forget it. You can all read about it on the blog. I'd never written a blog before, and I decided, here's my chance, I'm going to write a blog. First time ever. So I wrote everything in a blog. And every time I went to, I had what I call a weird date. Not every date, just the weird dates. I started writing to the blog. And eventually, I got up to something like 2,500 readers. When I got to that amount, somebody turned around to me and said to me, Lawrence, you're a riot. You have to write a book. And I said, okay, fine, I'll try. I've never written a book before. And I decided, okay, here goes. Let's take everything off. Everything offline, and put all the new experiences into a book, and wrote the book and got it published. And today I'm a published author, first time in my life, first book.
Lawrence
so
Fisher.
That's how I got into that.
Lawrence Fisher, our guest on Authors First. Tony Kay in the studio. All right, audience, the website, killmenow.org. And just in a moment, you heard our guest Lawrence Fisher give us the thumbnail of how this all began for him, and I imagine for hundreds of thousands of other would-be authors out there, look at what can happen if you just go ahead and express yourself. Writing was not something that you had pursued as a career or as a vocation in any other field. Is that correct?
Not exactly true. I'm by a profession, I'm both a computer programmer and a systems analyst. And I'm also a personal fitness trainer. But a couple of years ago, I started writing tutorials for software. So when I started writing the tutorials, I made it kind of like a complete idiot's guide to something, you know, so that I'm a big fan of a complete idiot's guide, although I'm no idiot. No one's an idiot to read those. It's just explained simply. And I decided that's how I want to write things. But as far as writing a story is concerned, I never thought about it. And my whole idea of writing this book was to put a smile on people's face. I mean, there should not be any chapter that you either don't laugh or you just smile and you smile at what happened. It's just amusing.
It's really expanded your personal social life.
Well,
I mean,
you know,
from writing, emailing to blogs, now the social networking sites, you probably have accumulated quite a number of friends.
Well, I've got quite a number of friends who sent me this, and I've got a lot of people who email me from my website. And you know that you say it's useful for my social life. You know that. When I try to pick up the phone to speak to a date, a potential date like this evening, they turn around to me and say to me, I heard you wrote a book on dating. I hope I'm not going to be in your book. So I just have to say, well, if you behave yourself, you won't be in my book.
Oh, that's great. Well, you know what? Why don't you say, here's a dollar and just in case. Just in case, here's a dollar, okay? You've been paid.
Well, you know, that's not exactly nice because then you're paying him to be with me, so it's not exactly something I'd like to do.
Well, this sense of humor, it's serving you well as a writer, being on the internet, blogging, getting to meet people, social networking. And in this book, was it an evolution? Did it come to you in pieces, or how was it framed, you know, Kill Me Now?
Well, the book itself started out as the blog, as I mentioned. So basically, you know, it was kind of like a diary. And when I originally started the book, it was called The World of Dating in Israel. And I thought about it, and I said, you know what? This is a kind of diary of things that have happened to me this year, in the course of 2011. And I said, okay, let's turn it into some kind of diary. And that's how I started off. I said, okay, this is what happens in January, January the 10th, January whatever, and I go through all kinds of things. And I continued on that frame of mind. And until I said, okay, this is the time, and I have to say, okay, this is my Jewish New Year. And for the Jewish New Year, that's when I ended this this current one, you know, because I'm already working on my second one, which is just on the same kind of same thread.
Now, where are you getting your material? Is this just from life experience?
Most of it is life experiences, because of the subject matter, many of my friends are starting to phone me up and say to me, you have to hear what happened to me last night. You have to put this in your next book. So I'm getting leads from all my friends. Actually, in the current book, I speak about two particular friends that they gave me some information about things that happened to them. girlfriends, basically. Not friends with benefits. Let's not say that, but girlfriends.
The name itself,
you know, that wasn't evolution. The name Kill Me Now, when you first say to somebody, okay, I wrote a book called Kill Me Now, no one knows what the book is about. I mean, Kill Me Now, what is it? Am I sitting in a lesson? What is Kill Me Now? And even when I started off the subtitle, okay, a middle-aged man maneuvers through the, you think it's going to be some kind of war story. And that's a gaping battlefield. So it was all kind of, the name itself was thought of quite a while. And I actually came up with the actual name, you know, I was on a date. And it was actually, I was on one date with the most boring girl I've ever had the misfortune to meet. And she was talking so much, and I couldn't even get in a thought or even a word in edgewise, and I was just waiting for her to finish. I was hoping that at some stage she would even have a sip of her coffee so that she could take a breath. And I was thinking, I don't know how to get out of this because I had some manners. So to get up and leave in the middle of a date is not something I'm going to do. I mean, have some respect for the person in front of you. And I was thinking to myself, take me now. Take me now. I'll do anything you want. Just take me now. That Kill Me Now came up.
Now, are these inclandestine? Are you carrying a tape recorder? Or are these just event emotional experiences?
No, I don't carry a recorder with me. I think somebody will kill me if I tried to do that. Physically kill me. No, I don't take a tape recorder with me. And, I don't go there and straight back home and write about the experience anyway. I go home, I go to sleep, think about it. If I think that the title is worthwhile or what happened is worthwhile, I write about it. If it's not worthwhile, you know what? That's not worthwhile. A quite an interesting case of something actually happened physically. I mean, it's not a joke or not made up. Was I went out on a blind date. A matchmaker picked me up on a blind date. Now, the matchmaker wouldn't tell me what the girl looked like. No information. She told me that she was the right age, and I have to meet her. Okay, fair enough. So I speak to the girl on the telephone, and she sounds very pleasant, and I say, okay, let's meet. So I said, you know what, I'm prepared to meet you in Tel Aviv, the Tel Aviv harbor. And she says, okay, there's a restaurant I like to go there, to meet there, let's go there. I've never heard of the restaurant, but I said, you know what, I'll go there, I'll park in the parking lot, and I'll find the place. I get to the parking lot, and I now have to look for the place. And I see a girl getting out of her car. The girl was a looker, a real good looker. And I thought, you know what? Maybe this is my date. I started walking up to her because I wanted to ask her to get to the restaurant. And maybe if she was my date, then I wouldn't have to go so far. We could go elsewhere. So I walk up to this girl, and she looks at me and smiles and says to me, how are you today? I looked around to see whether she was actually talking to me, and she was looking straight at me. So I said, you know, I'm very well, thank you. And how are you today? She looks at me and smiles again with the most melting smile that I've ever seen. And she says to me, all the better for seeing you, my dear. The girl's never met me, and she's already calling me my dear, but you know, my heart's melting. I go up to her, and I said to her, okay, it's nice to meet you too. And then she looks at me and says to me, get away from me, you creep. Can't you see I'm talking on the telephone? I didn't see she had a Bluetooth under her hair.
Oh, that is priceless. Oh, that is great. Yeah, of course. Yeah, she's on the phone.
Worthy.
She's on the
phone. That actually happened.
Oh, that is priceless. There you go.
And so
things are just happening to you all the time because you're out there. You're a middle-aged man maneuvering. You're out there maneuvering the front line of the dating battlefield, and it makes you wonder sometimes what people who know you are thinking when they try to invite you to meet one of their friends.
My friends gave up years ago. They said he's a useless case, and we gave up years ago. And one of the actual things I say about, you know, is I look at my friends and I see, you know, my friends, they're all of my friends have problems with their wives. My lady friends have problems with their husbands. And I said, these are people that want to set me up. You can't even settle with you settle your own lives, and you want to set me up. So I'll say, I'll deal with myself. I'll deal with myself.
That's a wise move. That's a way to keep a friendship too.
Yeah. You know, actually, there was my one friend right at the beginning of the book set me up with somebody she knew, and she said to me, "You have to meet this girl. You have to meet her." And so I did meet her because, you know, if a friend tells me I've got to meet this person, how can I refuse this friend? And it was the next day they said, How was it? Are you going to call her again? What did you do? What happened, you know? And I said, you know what? Give me the third degree another time. And so they said, okay, you know what? We'll introduce you, and you say, whatever happens, happens.
Kill me now. Killmenow.org, audience. Killmenow.org. When you get there, there's plenty to read. You don't need us or me to convince you to buy this very funny, important book. If you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, or just like to laugh a lot, start with a page, start with our author's website. Just take a look at the guy, and you're going to want to laugh. So that's worth the effort. Killmenow.org. You won't be disappointed. There's so much on the web. Isn't it a treasure to find something funny? And you can social network, Twitter, Facebook, and all the websites. They're right there. So stay in touch with the author. And, hey, Lawrence Fisher, he is into this. He's got the groove now, writing already book one, now book two coming out, and I imagine three or four. This journaling effect, how much of that does it carry over into the book itself? Do you have a different type of structure in your book than you do the blog, or do you prefer following that month-to-month or day-to-day calendar approach?
No, I quite like the idea of the journal itself, because in a journal, you're actually going back and forth between tenses. For example, I can say something like, I woke up this morning and the birds were chirping, and then I described something that happened last night. So you can go back and forth like that, and I actually like the idea of having it in a kind of journal entry. And by doing it that way, I can make the chapters short. In other words, you can have a chapter can be 2 pages long, it can be 5 pages long, but it's not something that you're going to wonder what happened. You keep them short and sweet, you don't lose the attention. So I actually quite liked it. And the second book is going to be on the same wave. I hope that the third book will be Adventures in a Married Life, but at the moment that's far away from me.
First there'd be I Met the One, there'd be that book. Then there'd be the planning phase of that book. then there'd be the in-laws, the outlaws, and all the others, that book. You couldn't get it all in one book.
I was actually laughing with somebody about the title of the second book, and I was thinking of calling it something on the lines of the subtitle being How I Didn't Meet Your Mother.
Yeah, it could have been a lot worse, kids.
Yeah.
We weren't at the brothel, okay?
Yeah.
She wasn't standing on the street corner, okay?
No. Well, maybe that's what she is. I don't know.
Oh, that's a riot. What fun you're having. Now, tell us, you're in the 40-something groove. Is there a long list of, do you have lots of scars? What are we looking at here? You managed to have a come out on top in the way of a sense of humor regarding relationships.
Well, you know, as far as relationships are concerned and having a sense of humor, I only came to terms with the battle scars during the course of this year because, every one of us who goes in this dating what I call hellhole, gets hurt, you can get hurt. It doesn't matter if you're male or female, you can get hurt, you can get in a relationship and the person may just break up the relationship. So you can get very badly hurt. The question is what you do with it. For example, I was actually very, very badly hurt about 9 years ago when I was dating one lassie. And we were dating for about 8 months, and the following day I phoned her up and I said to her, let's go out on Friday evening. And she said to me, no, don't call me again. Excuse me, what do you mean don't call me again? We've been dating for 8-9 months, what do you mean don't call me again? And she said to me, no, I don't want to talk about it. And I said, well, what else have we got to talk about it? And I said, well, if you've got nothing else to talk about, then don't call me again. And she put the phone down on me. And I didn't know what had happened, but she got married 3 months afterwards and had a child 5 months later.
Child.
No, it's not. Not at all. Definitely not my child. And she was, I heard that she was basically carrying on with two people at the same time. And she was pregnant by the other fellow and decided that she'd have his child.
We have a show on television over here in the States called Murray. They bring you all on the stage and you do your blood and then they figure out who the daddy really is.
The one reason that I know that he's not my child is because, I put it this way, skin pigmentation.
Well, you're not a candidate then for Jerry Springer. That's the other... that's a little different level there. But,
I would say because they all get hurt in this kind of thing, so it took me a while to come to terms with that. And... eventually I came to terms with it and carried on. Within my book itself, what I tried to portray there is not only, how to come out of things with a sense of humor, but also to show, that the vast majority of males do not know the signals that a woman puts out. We just do not understand. Sometimes a woman can say, you can go out with your friends, no problem. And actually she means, no, don't go out with your friends, stay here with me. We just do not understand. Girl can be playing with her hair in the middle of a date and you say to yourself, is she interested or not interested? What does it mean when she plays with her hair? There's a lot of things like that. And a lot of us just do not know. So that's one of the things I talk about in the book, that I put a funny spin on things and I say, we're not alone. None of us know what a woman is telling us. We say we don't understand hints, but we really don't.
Lawrence Fisher on Authors First with Tony Kaye telling us all in his book, Kill Me Now, how women are complex and difficult to understand, and relationships are deep and pondering.
Yes, that's right.
It's not just a beer with the boys at the bar tonight. We're talking about the complexities of maneuvering a relationship with the opposite sex. I think there's something here for both sexes, not just to be sexist. But if you're a woman or a man and you have a good sense of humor, you're going to love visiting the website, killmenow.org. You're going to enjoy the book trailer that's there, kind of a cartoon, very creative, well done. And our guest, I think, should have stayed more inclined toward the computer design work, but we're having a great time learning about his social love life. And perhaps a good candidate for the G.L. Henderson Radio Hour right here at the Artist First Radio Network. G.L. Henderson, the king of relationship drama, also an author troubled over women and what to do with them and how difficult it is to understand the lady's point of view. So thank you so much, Lawrence Fisher, for sharing your humor, your good nature, and, of course, this fascinating topic as it impacts your daily life, maneuvering the battlefield.
Well, it is a kind of battlefield, if you think about it. You know, each side wants something else. So it is a kind of battlefield. So that's how the name came out. It's a minefield as well, if you think about it.
Well, it can be quite explosive.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I actually had a, you know, just to point out how confusing signals can be. I did mention that my mother very recently passed away, and she was in hospital for about 3 weeks before she eventually passed away. And in the hospital, there happened to be one of the nurses, quite cute, that every time I came there, she used to come up to me, smile at me, talk to me, chat at me. And I was not in the right emotional state to actually say, okay, let's go for coffee. You know, I was a little bit worried about my mother. And after about a week, when this young nurse came up to me and, you know, smiled and said, you know what? Let's go out for coffee. And she said to me, oh, I'm sorry, I'm seeing somebody. So I totally misread any signals there.
But, boy, I think you've got the wrong book, Lawrence. It ought to be all the signals I miss, you know, or I don't know. You just don't get it. You're reading the wrong.
Exactly what I'm saying.
You're reading the wrong. I don't know. Maybe it's a hormonal thing. Maybe it's just, you know, they're excited. It's, you know, that time of the month, ovulation, and everything. And you've got your hormones, and, you know, maybe it's just that kind of connectiveness.
I actually asked her afterwards, was I getting mixed signals? And she came up to me and said to me, well, look, she came to me because she knew I was worried about my mother, and that's why she was spending time there. But one of the things I was trying to say is that we just don't get it. But
The way the ladies dress today, regardless of their age, they can be very provocative, suggestive, and naturally, if you have a bone in your body, it's going to be inclined. So, you know, there it is. It's out there, right? And it's a temptation constantly.
Well, you're right. You're 100% correct about that. And, most of us don't understand when a woman is actually available or not. But you know what? You try anyway, because if you don't try, you're not going to know. Which, when talking to a lot of people, when I was talking about my book, there are a lot of people who are quite afraid to approach a woman. They don't know what to say to her, how to approach her. And that's one of the things that I addressed in my book. Actually, my excerpt was basically about that. And you really have to find the courage to go out there and ask anyway. I mean, what's the worst can say that the woman tells you, get away from me, you're a creep? That's the worst.
Well, and you're right. I mean, if you want to go fishing, you're not catching any fish until you put that line in the water. Now, if you don't have any good bait on that hook, it might take a while to catch a fish. But you could get lucky.
But don't give up. That's what I'm saying.
You could get lucky with bare bones and
exactly.
actually get something, you know. So you put that line in the water and hope upon hope that someday you might hook one.
Well, I got a book out of it.
You did. And you don't mind if the Mrs. Lawrence Fisher reads it?
Of course not. You know, if you have a look at, listeners have a look at Amazon or even Goodreads, all my reviewers are females. So the females of the species, they get a kick out of reading it. The one reviewer, which cracked me up, it really cracked me up. I hope she's not listening, but when she reviewed my book, she said, "Thank goodness this is all done in humor, because if it wasn't, ladies, men are pigs." And I found it very amusing. The woman's got a good sense of humor.
Yeah, well, you know, you have a sense of fashion because you were wise enough to wear a black shirt and fold your arms to cover that pot belly at 45.
Well, you know, okay, so, but don't think I'm weak. I'm not at all weak. I'm actually currently training for truck pulling contest.
Yes, I'd like for you to tell us about your athletic pursuits since we're discussing your physique.
Well, I train every day at the gymnasium. In 2009, actually, I wanted to join a truck pulling contest, but I damaged my spine. I actually broke my spine, and cracked my spine, put it that way, and my right side was in agony for months. I couldn't move my right arm. And the one doctor said to me, look, we can either put a rod in your spine to do that, because not much you can do with a cracked spine, or else you can increase your back muscles. And I preferred to try and increase my back muscles, and which I did, and it seemed to help to mold the spine, to mold the crack back into place. So the guy actually told me that I shouldn't try for a new contest, but it's put on my list of things I want to do. So you never know.
Well, you have to know your physical limitations and strengths.
Yes, indeed.
And you're right. To take a muscular approach to your body to strengthen and support your skeletal bones, that was good sense, and it serves you well. I mean, you'll live with the injury now for decades.
No, it's actually only been now for I will live with the injury, but I did an X-ray about 6 months ago, and the spine's totally healed.
So you're just left with you're just left then with the damage above your neck.
Well, basically, that's also healed.
That's healed too. All right.
Yeah, I managed to strengthen everything in such a way that those are healed. That's something that exercise helped me with.
Well, now, where do you hope that these escapades of finding the perfect female for Lawrence Fisher, where will it take you? No, the world is your oyster.
Well, you know, wherever a female will take me, I'm there. No, but seriously speaking, you never know. I have I work in computers. I'm also a personal trainer. I'm enjoying life at the moment to the fullest, and thoroughly enjoying everything. So you never know where I'm going to meet the new the Mrs. Lawrence.
Well, you have a lady holding or having red boxing gloves on in the and hitting a gentleman in the jaw on the cover of Kill Me Now. What's that image? Why not battleships? Okay, what are you a trainer? Are you into boxing? Where did that image come from for you?
No, that image actually came from the fact that it's a battlefield because it's on the backdrop of a restaurant. So it's basically, you know, it's supposed to be a couple who's dating, but they're having a battle. They're having a kind of fight because dating is a minefield. It's a battlefield. So that's where I picked the image up from. I didn't want to have a regular picture of a couple sitting there having a normal meal or whatever because you have to have humor in life.
Well, I would hope it would have a peaceful relationship, too. I mean, I've had my squabbles with my lovely lady, but I wouldn't want to describe our relationship as a battlefield. So, I mean, you're right. When you,
as long as you do everything she says, then you're fine.
Well, that's always true. Okay, that's all right, though.
Yeah.
I could live with that. I get my way quite a bit as well. And there is that give and take in relationship, you know. And I suppose like chess, you're moving players back and forth. But having that, I think of it more of a dance.
Well, you can say that, but do you know that you mentioned chess, and chess is basically an art of war. So if you talk about chess maneuvers, basically you're planning something. So you're basically doing exactly what you're referring to. You're planning out your moves. Now, if you talk about a dance, you're also, once again, planning out your moves. Who leads, who follows. It's all part and parcel. So that's part of it. If you look at the couple who are on the cover, the woman is hitting the guy, but he's actually accepting it almost with a smile on his face. So,
that's
all
right.
About a relationship.
Yeah, there's no question. There is that going on there in that image. Now, where did the picture come from?
I looked at the bulk of pictures that my publisher had. The book is published by iUniverse, which is a daughter company of Barnes & Noble's, despite the address I've just given. They had a bulk of pictures, and I just waded through a whole lot of pictures, and I chose one picture to be superimposed in another picture. They're just models.
Now,
I don't even know them.
When you went to iUniverse for the publishing of the book, what was the compelling reasons? Control of the material, ease of publishing? Did they offer editorial advice, or are you able to have total control?
I have total control of the book. iUniverse is one of those self-publishing sites. I did approach major sites first, and two sites were quite interested, but the one said, okay, after I had negotiations with them, they turned out to me and said, you know what, the genre of humor is not suitable for us. If you want to talk about relationships, that's fine, but we don't want to talk about humor in relationships. And so they said, okay, maybe you want to change it to be only about the relationships. And I prefer to keep it just with my humor. It's part and parcel of me. My humor is who I am. So I didn't want to give it away. And the other company, I couldn't come to an agreement with them. So I said, eventually I said, you know what, I'll do it my way. My friends, Frank Sinatra said, I'll do it my way. I've now got full control, and it's available on major websites at the moment. I've actually got it. I'm selling it now here in Israel myself. I've managed to get one of the universities involved in selling it, because the subject matter itself appeals to everybody. I mean, to put a amusing spin on the dating, what one of my friends called the dating hell, it's what everybody wants to laugh at it.
That's tremendous that you're having such positive reviews. And as you stated, women love the book, and that, kudos to that. You know, having your material, writing it for your own personal consumption or for the amusement of some friends, that's one thing. But to have complete strangers read it and accept it and love it, that's a big compliment.
I totally agree with you.
So congratulations on putting all of this work together. You've worked tirelessly. Now, are you working on, is this your third year at this project?
No, this is my first year. I started writing the book itself. The blog itself I started in February. I think in July, I stopped the blog, and I devoted all my time to writing the book, to preparing it into book form. So the whole process from the end of July to now is how long it took.
Well, that is tremendous that you were able to bring it to print so quickly. And, of course, because of your computer knowledge and expertise, like getting everything online, that was probably a little easier for you as compared to other authors.
I had an option of obviously paying somebody to do it, but I decided, you know, it's so much fun to do it yourself, you know, I love learning new things, and I've never created a website before, and this was the first time I'd done it, and I enjoyed learning it, so it was part and parcel of it.
Now, have you spent the majority of your life, Lawrence Fisher, in Tel Aviv, Israel?
The vast majority of my life. You can hear by my accent that my accent is more or less South African, and I was basically born in a country that no longer exists, a country called Rhodesia, which now is called Zimbabwe. But I came to Israel at a relatively early age, and I've been over two-thirds of my life in Israel.
Do you think that all of the activity politically, militarily, that goes on in such a small country as Israel, that people there are just in tune to having a sense of humor?
You know, one of the things that that the Jews pride themselves on is being able to laugh about themselves. You know, the Jewish history has been around for 6,000 years. Jews have been in this part of the world for just as long as that, and we're able to laugh at ourselves. We enjoy laughing. You know, life can be, if you don't have a laugh, life can be tough. One of the things I always say is, you know, one of my favorite movies is The Life of Brian. It's a Monty Python series. The Life of Brian always says there, always look on the bright side of life.
Oh, yes, no matter what happens, fall in the hole, break your leg, you know, a brick falls on you, whatever.
There's a silver lining on everything, you know. You just have to look for the silver lining.
Well, absolutely.
You know, someone says, when you hit rock bottom, you know that you've got a solid foundation to build yourself back up on. So you look for the bright side. So there's a silver lining. So, people have to just find it. That's all.
Now, you've amassed quite a bit of material. Do you think that at some point you'll have a stand-up comedic act you know, the best of?
I hadn't given that a moment's thought, but you know what? You never know. You don't know. Maybe somebody wants to make a movie out of my book. You never know. You know, it's basically with this kind of thing. There's no limit. There's basically no limit. If you're able to take your humor and put it into book form, it's people like to laugh. And there's so much. If you look at what's happening in the world today with all the problems in the world, people just need a laugh.
Well, there's no question about that. And it's universal. Wherever you are on planet Earth, my audience, thank you for tuning in to the Artist First Radio Network. We're having a great time with our guest, Lawrence Fisher. The website, killmenow.org. Lots of material there to read, including a great book trailer, well done, by a gentleman who loves his craft. And you won't be disappointed by the website or the book. Very affordable, available through iUniverse, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all over the World Wide Web, killmenow.org. Go there now, check it out, and certainly it'll be something that you can talk about around those social network water coolers when you can tell your friends and relatives about killmenow.org. Just the same wonderful things that we all go through in life. Relationships are complex and they can be challenging, but it's great to see a 40-something gentleman step forward and put it in such a wonderful fashion. And you're being recognized by others, and I think it's tremendous. This must be a life-changing experience for you to wake up one day and say, hey, I'm a published author, and I have a website, and I have a storyline, and, you know, this is a whole new vocation.
Well, you're quite correct about that, and it's quite a ride. It's enjoyable, and people come up to me at work and say, you know, I heard you wrote a book, you know, and it's nice. People start acknowledging it, and I'm thoroughly enjoying the ride. It's a great ride. Just to the effect of, you know, you acknowledge, you want other people to know that they're not alone. Everyone goes through these things. It doesn't matter what age you are, wherever you're going to have some kind of experience when you're dating or whatever. Instead of getting hurt, find the silver lining. Enjoy it. Move on. Don't be embarrassed or sad to go out to girl and say, okay, would you like to go for a coffee with me? It's she can only say no.
The real surprise will be when she says yes.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
You
then?
Better have that next move planned out in your head.
Yeah. You know, I had quite an amusing experience as well. I've told you a few amusing experiences, but here's another one right here. I went into a pub. Now, I'm not a big pub goer. I have been a few times lately because there are some nice females in the pub, and I want to pick up a few girls here and there. And I saw one girl that no one went anywhere near. Good-looking girl. Well, no one went anywhere near. And I went up to her, and I started talking to her. And we had a good time. She was chatting to me and laughing, and we were laughing together. And I said to her, you know what? Let's go for dinner now. She said to me, looked at me and said to me, Lawrence, I'm sorry, but I'm betting for the other side. I said to her, excuse me, I don't understand. What do you mean you're betting for the other side? She said, well, I'm a lesbian. So I said to her, you know what? So am I. I only think about girls.
I don't think that went over quite well.
Yeah, actually,
it did.
She started laughing. She said, you know what? I don't think it's going to work out between the two of us, because if we see a girl or we're going to have to compete together for the same girl. So I said, you know what, you're right. You can buy me a drink. I'm not buying you one.
Oh, that's priceless. Yeah, you meet all kinds of people in the dating scene and in all kinds of places. What is the scene like in Tel Aviv? Do you have those single clubs, or are there big age differences? You show up and they're all 21.
No, many places that do have age differences. You can go to what's called speed dating. And when you go for a speed dating, you know, they make sure that the age differences are suitable. Even the singles, they have different ages that you go to. Because, you know, a 30-year-old female doesn't exactly want to go out with a 60-year-old guy. Or even a 49-year-old guy, for that matter. But there are groups. And... you know, we also have dating coaches like they have all over the world. You know, it's not only in the Hitch that has that's a dating coach. We have all kinds here. Israel is a very modern country, very modern. So we have everything here, and Tel Aviv is definitely the city that never sleeps. You can go, you can find the Tel Aviv port, which I love very much, is open there all 24 hours. I mean, the one there, I've been there when they threw me out at 5 o'clock in the morning because they wanted to close for 2 hours. And my date and I had just didn't notice that the time had gone. We didn't know where the time had gone. It was a 6-hour date that we didn't realize. The time had just gone by.
And the cell phone possession rate in Israel, what, 5 to 1?
What do you mean by cell phone?
You have 5 cell phones, don't you?
No, I don't have 5 cell phones.
You don't have a cell phone in your car, in your bedroom, in the living room, everywhere. How many do you own, really? Tell us the truth.
How many cell phones?
Yes.
Did I use or did I own? No, it's the same telephone number. I mean, if I'm listening in my car, it's the same telephone. I've got a fixed telephone. But you know what? We each one of us do have more than one number and more than one cell phone.
Okay, that's what I'm getting at.
An iPhone.
That's right. Little different. Just a little different. That's okay.
It's a little different. Why, you don't have 4 telephones?
No. No, we have one. Only
you,
one.
You and your wife both have one together?
No. I have mine and she has hers. That's one. Okay. And our daughter has hers, and our daughter has hers, and our son has, each one of our sons have theirs, and our grandchildren, they have one too. Everyone has one over here.
Well, that's right. That's fine. My left hand is one, and my right hand is another.
Oh, this is funny. Dating in Israel, no different than anywhere else on planet Earth. Thank you so much for joining us, Lawrence Fisher, killmenow.org, the website. It's been our privilege to talk to you. Before I let you go, any upcoming news you'd like to share with our audience or anyone out there on planet Earth you'd like to say hello to?
Yes. Everybody living in the world, don't sit on your butts being sorry for yourself. Get up and go out there. Enjoy yourself. Live life. To all your loyal listeners, it was a really great hour, and I thank you very much for having me.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path?